Hallelujah. Shine out the world like bright stars. You're offering it the word of life.
Hallelujah.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When Jesus came on the Sabbath and began to eat a meal in the house of one of the leading Pharisees, they observed him closely. Directly in front of him was a man who suffered from dropsy. Jesus asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not?" At this they kept silent. He took the man, healed him, and sent him on his way. Then he addressed himself to them, "If one of you has a son or an ox, and he falls into a pit, would he not immediately rescue him on the Sabbath day?" This they could not answer. This is the Gospel of the Lord. This is the second time in a few days they have almost the same Gospel, where Christ is being criticized for breaking the Sabbath, and then Christ asks the Pharisees, "Wouldn't you, for example, save someone falling into a pit on the Sabbath? Why are you complaining? Why are you complaining that I am healing on the Sabbath?" The lesson we saw before is that we are to practice virtue first, deep, deep down in our hearts. That is what God reads, our hearts. Of course, we are to also put our virtue into external practice. But the heart of pleasing God is pleasing God with the heart. However, we can go beyond. The natural tendency of human nature is to appear in a good light before others. Even criminals, want to be, well, declared innocent. We live, it's almost a definition of our lives as social beings. We live on the reputation that others have of us. We dread being well thought of and then lose that respect. We want to keep our reputation. We want to be well thought of. That, by the way, is the main reason people tell lies, so that others will have a better opinion of them than they really deserve. But there is still more. Our Lord wanted to emphasize the absolute necessity of submitting our wills to the will of God and getting no credit, I don't say from others, but even from ourselves, for doing God's will. Humility has many manifestations. There is none more demanding on human nature in the practice of humility than not even receiving credit from others for the practice of our virtue. How we need, and I can say how I need desperately, daily, frequently, constantly look into my heart and ask myself, am I doing this to get attention, to get acceptance, or am I doing it out of love for God? Lord Jesus, we ask you to teach us the meaning of true, deep, interior humility. Because, as you've told us so often, it is the humble who please you, and the proud whom you reject. Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make, we beg you, make our hearts like unto thine. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray for God's blessings on our forthcoming national elections, that they may be according to the will of God. Let us pray to the Lord for your own personal intentions. Let your prayer. That are the pure in heart, for they shall. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to dine at the house of a ruler who belonged to the Pharisees, they were watching him. Now he told a parable to those who were invited. When he marked how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you are invited by anyone to a marriage feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, but for fear that someone more eminent than you be invited to you. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give place to this man. And then you will begin with shame to take the lower place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lower place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, go up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. This is the gospel of the Lord. Today is the feast of our Jesuit lay brother, St. Alphonsus Rodriguez. We don't have very many lay brothers left, at least in the United States, among the members of the Society of Jesus. As Ignatius founded the order, he planned on three categories. The priests who were solemnly professed, who take the three standard vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, and besides that, take four other vows, including the fourth vow of obedience to the Holy Father in the teaching of religion to children. That's my vow. That's why we have the Marian and Ignatian Catechists. The second class are priests who take the three first vows. They are simple vows. They do not take the other four. And the third class are the lay brothers. They're not ordained. They take three simple vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. And their job is to do, well, the more humble physical tasks, repair work, building. They built churches over the now four centuries, have built churches, schools, some of the great painters. Alfonso Liguori pardon me, Alfonso Rodriguez, the Jesuit, was a porter, a doorkeeper. Call them now, no fancy term in those days, a receptionist. He was a married man. His wife died. Then, after the children grew up, he became a lay brother. And for years, 30 or more years, all he did was greet the people who came in. No telephones in those days. He had to go and rap at the door of the person who was having a visitor. Always kind. Always cooperative. Always in prayer. And yet had a remarkable spiritual insight. He was the one who counseled the scholastics before the ordination. And he was asked for advice by the priests of the community. And his most important protege was St. Peter Claver, the Spanish Jesuit who came to Latin America and spent most of his life caring for the African slaves, shiploads of them, who were brought to, well, to the coast of Latin America. That's Peter Claver. Alphonsus told him about this trade. You should volunteer for the missions in South America and take care of those blacks. Peter Claver was ordained, then followed this simple lay brother's recommendation. Alphonsus did not write much. He lived, as today's gospel indicates, a very simple and humble life. And whatever else his life proves, and it proves many things, it is that we do the best work for God, not by our speeches, not by our books, not by what people think of us, not by making a show or display of our erudition. We do the best work for God by our simple, humble doing of God's will, unrecognized by the world. And over the years of our training, Alfonso Rodriguez is offered to all of us as a model of humility. How we need that. And the more educated we are, the more gifted we are, the harder. I know, the harder it is to be humble. And this is where we must welcome humiliations in our life. The more the better. Every time God sends us humiliations, we may be sure He provides us with the grace, not just to take it, but to benefit from it. There is only one person. He was not a human person who did not need humiliations, our Lord. The rest of us do. I'd like to illustrate this. Found out last night, had my hearing aid in my left ear. I couldn't find the little black package in which the hearing aid is kept, the batteries, and hearing aid for the right ear. Called up Chicago, couldn't find it. Looked all around, couldn't find it. Still haven't found it. Called up the O'Connells in Washington. I told them to pray to St. Anthony. He said, we do too. So, can I ask you to pray to St. Anthony? But, and this is the beauty of our faith. God will send us humiliations. On occasion, you find he sometimes sends you a little bit of a humiliation. Or Daniel, has it been known? That's what life is all about. We need it. And today's saint is a good example for us to follow. Lord Jesus, you, the almighty creator of heaven and earth, humble yourself by being carried by your mother for 9 months in her womb, born in a stable, live the obscure life at Nazareth, and then in so many ways criticized, insulted, opposed, and finally crucified between two criminals. Dear Jesus, we beg you, teach us the meaning of humility and give us the strength to practice it. Saint Ildefonsus Rodriguez, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray for all the members of the Society of Jesus, that in imitation of St. Ildefonsus Rodriguez, we may live humble lives. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For all those throughout the world who are being humiliated, persecuted, and opposed, that following the example of St. Ildefonsus Rodriguez, they may profit from their humiliations. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For our own personal intentions.
For God's blessings on this election, and for a good follow-up to the millions of people who are praying this prayer, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord, hear that what we ask for in faith, we obtain through the merits of your mother, the humble handmaid of the Lord. This we ask through Christ our Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountainside. After he had sat down, his disciples gathered around him, and he began to teach them. How blessed are the poor in spirit, the kingdom of God is theirs. Blessed too are the sorrowing, they shall be consoled. Blessed are the lowly, they shall inherit the land. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for holiness, they shall have their fill. Blessed are they who show mercy, mercy shall be theirs. Blessed are the single-hearted, for they shall see God. Blessed too the peacemakers, they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those persecuted for holiness' sake. The kingdom of God is theirs. Blessed are you when they insult you and persecute you and utter every kind of slander against you because of me. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward in heaven is great. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
after my surgery this morning, they asked me what I was going to do. I said I was going to say Mass. Well, you cannot say Mass. You're supposed to go to bed and rest. So thanks for the advice. I'm saying Mass. Thanks for being here. On the Feast of All Souls, there's only one subject we should talk about, and that is the poor souls. And our three standard questions. Who are the poor souls? Why are they in purgatory? And third, how should we practice devotion? Mind you, devotion to the poor souls. Who are the poor souls? They call them poor souls because their bodies were left in the grave. And we call them poor because they are in great need. What is their need? Their need is to reach the heaven, which they are sure they have gained. The poor souls are suffering, but they are also happy. And remember how often we've said, let no one ever tell you, that the two words, pain and joy, are incompatible. Not only are they not incompatible, but one is a condition for the other. The poor souls, therefore, are those who have merited the beatific vision. They are certain of their salvation. But they are in purgatory because they need to be, and that's what purgare in Latin means, to cleanse. Purgatorium in Latin, purgatory in English, is the place of cleansing. What do they have to be cleansed from? Not from the guilt of their sins, but from the suffering still due for the sins which have been forgiven, but temporal punishment still remains. The poor souls do not yet see the face of God. They are living by faith. Who are they? They are all the, as we say, faithful departed who have served God faithfully, but nevertheless did not fully expiate the punishment due for their sins. Second question, why? Why are they in purgatory? They are there in order to be purged, cleansed. I repeat, not of the guilt, but of the punishment still due for the sins which need to be expiated, because, as we've said so often, there are two consequences to every sin. There is guilt and there is pain. Guilt is the loss of grace. Pain is the suffering which is due for sins forgiven indeed as to guilt, but not yet fully remitted as to punishment. Why are the poor souls in purgatory? Honest. They are in purgatory because they have not suffered enough on earth. How's that? The next time you're tempted to complain about suffering or pain, tell yourself, don't be silly. Don't be stupid. You've got only one option. Having sinned, we have what an option. You've got only one option. Either to suffer here or suffer hereafter. So, why are the souls in purgatory? Because, having deserved to expiate their sins, and that means by suffering, they have not suffered enough here on earth. Where are the souls in purgatory? To teach us. And we all need, how we need this lesson. We need to be taught that suffering is absolutely necessary. Having sinned, you've got no option. God being just, we, when sinning, having acted against the will of God by doing our own will. So what does God do? Well, he says, my friends, since you've indulged your will by sinning, I will act contrary to your will by causing you pain. And remember, that's what pain is. Everything contrary to what we like. Why are the souls in purgatory? Then for two reasons. Both to expiate their own sins and to teach us. And this lesson we all need, including people that I don't believe I've met, but we all need this lesson. We need to not only suffer in this life. Everybody in this world suffers. Everybody. But to be willing to suffer, otherwise known as patience. Why? Because by suffering here, you will have, won't that be wonderful? You will not even have to go to purgatory. But, my dear friends in Christ, you'll have to suffer a good deal. And the secret of expiating our sins is not just suffering, but as we've said, being willing to suffer. And we all know by now what that means. That's the meaning of patience. When I'm willing to suffer, everybody suffers. Not everybody suffers patiently. So when the Lord gave me a chance, expiate a little purgatory this morning by having a cataract removed from my right eye. And the anesthetic worked, but no anesthetic is perfect. Third question. How are we to practice devotion to the poor souls? Maybe something new. Devotion to the poor souls. In three ways. By now the sisters know we count everything. There are three ways we are to practice devotion to the poor souls. First of all, by thinking about the poor souls. Reading about the poor souls. Do you sisters have Dante's classic work, Purgatorio? Do you have it in the house? Do you have a copy? Please? Well, you know Dante, the famous Italian poet, he wrote three famous poems. They're a little long. De Paradiso, De Inferno, and De Purgatorio. Read Dante. Daniel, have you read Dante, Purgatorio? Just a little bit. By the way, we have one section, as you know, in the Treasury of Catholic Wisdom. It's sobering. In other words, we should learn how do we practice devotion to the poor souls while learning as much as we can about them. And there are some books. Do you know of a good book on purgatory? What's the name of it?
Purgatory. It's by a Jesuit, Mueller, I think. Father Mueller.
Yeah. Do you have any books on purgatory in the house? At least one? During the month of November, do some reading about the poor souls. So first, we practice devotion to the poor souls by knowing something about them. Secondly, we practice devotion to the poor souls by praying. Praying to them. Honest. They cannot help themselves, but they can obtain graces for us. So, pray to the poor souls and ask them to enlighten us, to be patient in this life, in our very short purgatory here. So we'll be intelligent enough to not ever run away from the cross. Never, never. So pray to the poor souls. Thirdly, pray for the poor souls. And that's what the month of November is mainly about. To pray for the poor souls and ask them, first of all, pray for them. But even while praying for them, it's almost, I would say, a conversation. Few people have close relatives, a parent or a brother or sister who has entered eternity. Both my father and mother are deceased. Father died when I was a year old. Mother saw me ordained, and year after she died. So besides praying for the poor souls, cultivate the habit of conversation with the poor souls. They have a lot to tell us. And we have a lot to learn. Because we need the experience they have from realizing why we can be so blind in not seeing that sin is a terrible evil. And that is why God sends pain and suffering to wake us up. But especially to engage in conversation with the poor souls so that our faith will be strengthened. Faith in what? Faith in that heaven which they are absolutely sure of reaching, and we are not quite absolutely sure, because the most important truth of our faith that we should cultivate every day is the looking forward to that heaven where we shall be released from the purgatory here on earth and spared purgatory after death. May I ask, you sisters say thee from the depths every day. We should all have a prayer for the poor souls every day, because by praying for them, we are sure they already are, and when they reach heaven, will be praying for us. Eternal rest granted to them, O Lord, and that perpetual light shine upon them. May they rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. As I mentioned, when we began the Mass, we have three Masses. This is the first. The first Mass is for all the poor souls in purgatory. The second Mass is for all the deceased. Now the Holy Father wants every priest to say one Mass on Poor Souls Day for those souls for whom Masses had not been said that should have been said. And the third Mass is for our own relatives and friends who have entered eternity, whom we wish to remember. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was suggested also that for practical reasons, we defer communion to the second Mass. Is that the idea? Yes. That you'll have communion at the second and third Mass. You can receive twice today, but it was recommended that we have communion of the second and third Mass. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
On one occasion Jesus said, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, do I offer praise for what you have hidden from the learned and the clever, you have revealed to the merest children. Father, it is true. You have graciously willed it so. Everything has been given over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son but the Father, and no one knows the Father but the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you are weary and find life burdensome, and I will refresh you. Take my yoke upon your shoulders and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble of heart. Your soul will find rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden light. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah to the Lord.
saith the Lord, whoever believes in me will not die. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia to the Lord. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia. Sing alleluia to the Lord.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus told his disciples this parable. The kingdom of God can be likened to 10 bridesmaids who took their torches and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, while the other 5 were sensible. The foolish ones, in taking their torches, brought no oil along, but the sensible ones took flasks of oil as well as their torches. The groom delayed his coming, so they all began to knock and then fall asleep. At midnight, someone shouted, "The groom is here, come out and greet him." And the outcry, all the virgins woke up and got their torches ready. The foolish one said to the sensible, "Give us some of your oil. Our torches are going out." But the sensible ones replied, "No, there may not be enough for you and us. You had better go to the dealers and buy yourselves some." While they went off to buy it, the groom arrived, and the ones who were ready went into the wedding with him. Then the door was barred.